Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A woman and her daughter going to an appointment at a church one day and then gone the next.
Janet Shugley and a child, they were observed walking along the road by a witness, and that was the last anybody had saw.
A possible kidnapping and murder-for-hire plot from the husband?
They had arrested Mr. Shugley in Pittsburgh during an undercover operation where he tried to solicit two city policemen.
False leads have made all trails run cold as a family still searches for their missing loved ones.
I know this was years and years and years ago, but there may be someone out there still who knows something. Please, we beg you, come forward and help us out.
A woman and a girl gone for decades. Next. This is a journey into crime. Along this journey, we will tell stories of those who have felt the sting of abduction, domestic abuse, violence, and even death. We uncover cases which have been solved, unsolved, open, closed, and cold. Sometimes, in order to get a deeper understanding of something, you must return to view. Two females missing, and the details are so convoluted, it still has law enforcement stumped. I'm Cole Johnson, and thank you so very much for joining me. This is Return to View, a true crime format where we dig into all cases that have captured the imagination and curiosity of many. Imagine being a family of five, and one day, inexplicably, you lose two of those members. Well, on a summer day in 1985, one family can say, "We are living this very nightmare." Our introductory case on Return to View, Janet and Marissa Shugley, a double disappearance. Somerset, Pennsylvania. Nestled in the Appalachian foothills in the western part of the Keystone State, all is relatively quiet as the Pennsylvania Turnpike runs through the city. Right off of the turnpike was the Coleman Motel on the outskirts of Somerset. In that former motel, a family of five moved there from a rental property near Hidden Valley Resort. What brought them to those areas? That remains unclear. June 29th, 1985, the date which the incident was originally reported. Since 2000, the date has been reported as June the 30th. Then 35-year-old Janet Shugley decided to meet with the priest at St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church in Somerset. She also planned to see relatives on that day. On the morning in question at the motel, both Janet and her husband, Francis J. Shugley, or Frank for short, got into a heated discussion about their oldest of three children, their then 10-year-old daughter, Marissa. According to Frank, the argument they had turned contentious and fiery between them. It got to the point where Janet spat in Frank's face. Not ignoring the disrespect, Frank then hauled off and slapped Janet. Soon thereafter, Janet left and headed to her appointment with the St. Peter's priest over a mile away and to visit with her family and relatives. She took Marissa with her. Janet and Marissa walked across the street to Dan's Auto Sales. Janet flagged the owner, Dan Slagle, and told him she would be visiting relatives in Pittsburgh. The owner attempted to use a Citizens Band radio, or CB, to get the ride for, but to no avail. after he expressed his disappointment to finding a ride for Janet and Marissa. Janet mentioned to Dan that she would actually walk all the way to Pittsburgh and politely walked out of the auto shop. Janet and Marissa made their way toward the Pennsylvania Turnpike. They walked along the road to get to the turnpike, and both parties have not been seen since. Boswell Borough Council President Larry Williams, and then the lead Pennsylvania State Police investigator of the case, says the following.
Which is Janet Shugley and a child. They were involved with a altercation or an argument, and they left the hotel, which was located right next to the turnpike, and they didn't go a long distance. They went from a hotel, which was located right at the turnpike bridge, down to the area where presently Ruby Tuesday's located, before McDonald's, and they were observed walking along the road by a witness, and that was the last anybody had saw of them.
Janet and Frank also had two sons, Christopher, age 7, and Josh, age 5, at the time of the disappearance. When asked why Janet would leave her two sons behind at the motel but only take her daughter with her, Williams had no comment. In a 1986 Somerset Daily American article, Williams stated that Janet and Marissa were headed to church, possibly to seek shelter. There, they would receive counseling from the Reverend Samuel Tomaselli. When asked recently, Reverend Tomaselli said that he didn't recall seeing Janet nor Marissa. However, he did mention that at his advanced age, he would be unable to recall such details. The pastor emeritus would have been in his early 50s at the time of their disappearance. If the assumption is made that both Janet and Marissa did not make it to church, then both parties were last seen roughly 100 yards away from the Pennsylvania Turnpike. As for the turnpike itself, just under 4,500 vehicles were reported traveling through the only intersection linking Somerset and the turnpike. So what if Janet and Marissa hitchhiked their way? Pennsylvania State Police Public Relations Officer Stephen Lamani mentioned that when the eyewitnesses who placed them at the scene where their disappearance took place, that Janet and Marissa were not in a hitchhiking pose of any sort. No indication, Lamani said, was made of the two of them catching a ride anywhere. Officer Lamani.
It appears about 12:30 to 1 o'clock is the last time she was seen, and she was seen on 601 is what I was told. So that's the information that we were given, that somebody saw a woman and a young child on 601 is how it was described to our investigators. And outside of that, we don't have any other information of going to meet somebody specifically to try to hammer down phone calls. I know there was conversations about that she could have possibly made a pay phone call back then. And we don't have any information that we're able to concretely say that she did this or did that, other than a person that was able to give somewhat of a description thinking that they saw her, right? And so could that person saw another person and a young child walking? I mean, it could have been, right? But, you know, it seems sort of consistent with the time frame of when we were told she left the hotel. So we're going with that person most likely being the last person we believe to have seen her.
July 2nd, 1985. 3 days after the originally reported date of his wife's and daughter's disappearance, Frank filed a missing persons report with the Pennsylvania State Police. Trooper George Gearhart received the case first. Then, Officer Williams took it over. His involvement was because the state police suspected it was something far worse than just a mere disappearance of Janet and Marissa. They suspected something worse. Josh Shugley remembered the argument that his mother and father had on that fateful day.
You know, my father and mother got into an argument, And what do you call it? They were staying at a hotel or whatever in Somerset. I'm not even sure if it still exists. I don't think so. And from what I recall, you know, she spit in his face, she slapped her, and she pretty much took my sister with her and walked away. You know, other than that, pretty much, you know, later in that day, my dad, you know, supposedly went to go look for them and left my brother and I at the hotel, and that's pretty much about it.
It is quite understandable that Josh's memories of that fateful day are vague. After all, he was only 5 years old at the time of the argument, the departure of his mother and older sister, followed by their disappearance. Both Josh and Christopher told state police that on the night their mother and sister disappeared, their father resurfaced at the motel. They recalled his clothes were filled with mud. The next morning, Frank thoroughly cleaned the room, right down to scrubbing the walls. Afterwards, he checked out of the motel with his two sons in tow. He went to Jeanette, the place where he was reared, up the turnpike roughly 50 minutes away from Somerset, and on the doorstep to Pittsburgh. After staying there for a short amount of time, Frank took his sons, and the three of them moved to Pittsburgh, where the three of them stayed in an apartment. This ends the free portion of the Janet and Marissa Shugley double disappearance episode. To listen to the full episode, go to the article of Frank Shugley has said his wife abandoned him, why his son has a problem with that theory, on the Daily American. And remember, you have to subscribe in order to hear the rest of this episode. I'm Cole Johnson, and I thank you for returning to view the Janet and Marissa Shugley double disappearance. See you for the rest of the story. Thank you for listening to Return to View. Many thanks to Josh Shugley, Borough President Larry Williams, Officer Stephen Lamani, for their commentary to this program. Janet Shugley Class Ring Story, made possible by WTAE in Pittsburgh. Opening and closing theme by Jimmy Free. For more information on this episode, go to the following stories on the Daily American. How did Janet and Marissa Shugley disappear in Somerset 36 years ago? A few theories. Frank Shugley has said his wife abandoned him, why his son has a problem with that theory. And, frustrated by false leads, police consider another tactic in Shugley investigation. All three stories written by Bruce Seawee and Eric Keita, with special assistance from Kim Strong. This has been a Comey Media Incorporated presentation in association with the USA Today Network.